All right. I'm taking chairman's privilege in not having any slides. First, I should start in saying, who can be pleased to be presented with evidence that you say IFRS are still principles-based? Well, that's good. Good to hear. But does it matter? And I think I would probably go exactly where she was. As what's the tension point? What's the assertion? There was an assertion 20, 25 years ago. And is there anybody out there that actually makes a call now? You're trotting along the wrong path and you're going to become more rules-based. And if you do that, this and this and this would be the consequence. So I think what as a standard setter, I would probably ask you to refine is whom are you thinking about you want to convince or inform? Who's your audience? Whom are you talking to? What is it that you want to flesh out with what result? What is it that you want to demonstrate and why is that why does that matter? Why does that matter now vis-a-vis why did it matter possibly 25 years ago? Now, I would like you to also consider something that I think is highly relevant. Because implicitly, you don't spell that out so much, but I think implicitly, you're treating the environment as basically being the same throughout the 25 years that you examine. But I think that is the one bit that I would actually challenge. I think we have seen a load of changes. It started first from the state of adoption of IFRS standards. At the starting point of your analysis, there was not a single jurisdiction that adopted that. Now we have close to 150. With every new jurisdiction coming on, there come new demands. There come new questions, there come new concerns, new problems are being elevated. So that is then being fed back to us, and we would have to make a judgment call. Do we respond to these concerns, yes or no? And if we do, how much disruption would that bring to the remaining people that are already on board? I think that is relevant. The other thing is the board itself. There's constant turnover, right? So the first board was probably stable for about 10 years, not quite, because some actually left after 5 years, some left after 8 years, but there was a first board. The second board was already different, completely differently attuned. And the current board is probably very much different to either of the two preceding boards. So I think the decision-making process is probably different from board to board. And sometimes it may be reactive. We hopefully are all grounded in, let's start from first principles, but we can't stop there. We have to actually adapt to that. A third thing that I would suggest is in your paper, you make references to different stages of the Constitution and the Due Process Handbook. Be mindful that these documents have changed over time as well. So where this particularly becomes relevant, I think, is in the work of the Interpretations Committee. If you look at agenda decisions, that is not a free choice. It's a consequence. The role of the Interpretations Committee now is to say, does the literature provide for sufficient material that you can derive an answer? And that's binary, yes or no. And if the answer is yes, they are prohibited from issuing anything besides an agenda decision. So it's not a free will, it's a consequence. If the answer is no, then the question is, okay, does that automatically mean there will be an amendment or there will be an interpretation? No, because it forms part of all the gaps that do exist in standard setting. It becomes a prioritization issue. It becomes a question of relevance. It becomes a question of significance. Where in the entire spectrum and the universe of things that we try to regulate, does that rank? And is that really our highest priority? I would always also say that not everywhere where we do not identify a gap, that doesn't necessarily mean we don't do standard setting. Our project in Intangibles is a case in point. So, and I just have a live example here. The Interpretations Committee was asked, are cloud services covered by IFRSs? And if so, how do I account for cloud computing? The mission of the Interpretations Committee was search the literature and is there sufficient material that you can derive an answer? Answer, the response of the Interpretations Committee was, yes, there is. And here's the answer. Their aim was not to say, does that answer make sense? which is why we are now looking at it from the board perspective in revising and rethinking, reconsidering our principles in IS 38. Does that actually provide a tangible answer? So it doesn't necessarily follow that if there is a gap, there's a high likelihood that we will address it. Extractive industries is a good example for that. We decided not to touch that because there wasn't an identified problem. Plus, there may also be areas where we actually say there is no gap, but still the answer is probably outdated and doesn't lead to good results. And last thing I would mention is crisis situations, so macroeconomic events that have happened. We have had some very significant events, the global financial crisis, the COVID crisis, sovereign debt crisis. We now have probably a tariff crisis and other things. And the question is, the board is not completely agnostic to that. Sometimes we have to react. And probably the global financial crisis is the starkest example of why actually things have changed and why you see some reactions vis-a-vis their predecessor parts. If you think about why has IFRS 9 changed vis-a-vis IAS 39, the global financial crisis will probably inform you about that. The question around rules-based and principles-based, I go back to Catherine's article. I was actually in the room when she delivered her presentation to the AAA conference. It was mind-blowing. And it was a classic example of it's really in the eye of the beholder. Firstly, when do you discount something as principles or as rules-based? And is one really better than the other? The one thing that I would say that over the years I would discourage anybody from looking into is actually making any comparisons between US GAAP and IFRS. And here's my rationale. As a global standard, we have to be legally agnostic. We don't have any hook in laws and regulation, nowhere around this planet. Because all the domains that are surrounding us, tax accounting, prudential accounting, God knows what, commercial codes, are all different and are non-harmonized. That's the one big differentiator to US GAAP. They serve one market, and they know exactly what legal system they're fighting up. Very, very easy to actually make tailored, targeted solutions. And whether they are principles-based or rules-based doesn't really matter. They provide a solution to an identified problem. We are not in the same space. We cannot work there. So therefore, I think it is void to actually even ask that question. It may be conceptually informing, and I agree that this would have been probably a very relevant question during the time that we had the convergence project, because it could be seen as actually an inhibiting factor in us getting closer because of our different starting points. What haven't I not covered? Well, pretty much everything, I think. Thank you very much. A good paper, I think a very thorough piece of work, but probably a few areas where you just should be thinking about how could I strengthen it and how could I think about who do I want to really target. Thank you very much.